Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscious, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. I'm Michael Eric Owens.
And I'm DT.
Welcome back to the studio, my brother.
Man, I missed you, man. I'm glad to be back in the studio. We hadn't recorded in a couple weeks, and it's like, I'm here.
It was like something.
A pleasure to be back.
Man, it's a pleasure to be back, and it's like something was missing.
True.
You know what I mean?
And then we got all the funky stuff going on. It's like, man, it didn't add any positive to the situation.
It did not. And I have to say, I even miss Richard.
You miss Richie?
Yeah, I missed him, man. So it's just a pleasure to be back in Black and Studios. And folks, we are doing a show dedicated to Prince.
Now, you're going to have to educate me because, you know, Prince was in my lifetime, but not necessarily in my era. So today will be somewhat of a history lesson, correct?
It will be a history lesson. And I'm looking forward to sharing that. For those of you that know me, know how much I appreciate Prince. His legacy will live on. But, you know, Prince, we lost Prince. Just a few days ago, April 21st, of course, he was born in 1958, June 7th. He was 57 years old, and what a loss, DT.
Man, you know, when I heard the news, I was actually in a hotel room ironing my clothes, listening to the radio. And when the cat said it, I'm like, what? Like, Prince died? So he like, and so like, of course, I'm Googling like right away, like, man, this
exactly.
can't be real. And then first off, you know, I'm thinking like, man, the impact that this dude had on music, on culture, on just life in general, he was an activist. I felt for those people who really had that connection with Prince, you know. Like, I felt the purple tears dropping all across the world.
No doubt. And I mean, it's interesting because you know, being introduced to Prince, I was in Minnesota in the early 80s. I did my first year of college up there in the Minneapolis area. And my roommate was best friends with Dwayne Nelson, his brother. And Dwayne came by the house, man, multiple times, man. Real cool, down-to-earth brother. That I was very fond of, and he talked very fond of his brother Prince. And so that whole Minneapolis scene, I went to school with, and some of our listeners will understand because I'm taking them back. Mm-hmm. But I went to school with Andre Simone's sister. Andre Simone was a cat that really started out with Prince. And it was nothing to see Prince, you know, around Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. You know, he said he stayed in Minneapolis because he could be himself. And so he wasn't like other, you know, superstars that, you know, moved to L.A. And did this. He stayed right in his roots. And I've always respected him for that because it's cold in Minnesota, you know, and here's a brother that got money. He'd go anywhere, you know, and he could be anywhere at any time he wanted to be. But he felt such an affinity to Minnesota, to Minneapolis, to the Twin Cities, that he stayed there. And that was the kind of the beginning of this video music generation with MTV and all of that. And his from his band with Derek Dickerson, that was his lead guitarist, man, that played along with him. You know, the Wendy and Lisa, that was part of his group as well. You know, him producing other artists, you know, Vanity Six and Apollonia Six and all of these other groups with Maserati. Matter of fact, two guys that I grew up with, Bruce DeSager, along with Marvin Gunn, were in Maserati, you know, and they're still doing things, man. So I have a deep connection with Prince, man. You know, I'm from that neck of the woods. I mean, it's reciprocity between Wisconsin and Minnesota. I mean, you pay the same tuition. They're sister states. And so, you know, the impact, you think about a 17, 16-year-old kid, you know, that's introduced to this cat that, you know, is really changing the way we look at gender and roles and masculinity. And even at that early age, man, in his 20s, talking about social issues that were very deep. And we're going to get into that on the show. We're going to get into some of his music. We're going to get into his activism. But as a musician, man, he played up to 27 instruments.
Wow. And, you know, like, because when you see him on interviews, he's really shy, kind of, you know, got that innocence to him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, like, when I learned that he played all of those instruments, I seen that as his expression, as his ability to be able to say, not necessarily say the things that are in his mind, but to be able to express that through his music. And I think that when you are breaking down barriers like that and having an outlet to show and really express yourself to the fullest, man, you're in an ideal position, because now you do have something that you can fully express yourself with without having to necessarily say the words.
Absolutely. I mean, he was,
because if you heard him play, it's like he was screaming, you know, like, man, listen to me.
Yeah, he was created to play music, clearly. Probably one of the most talented musicians to ever walk the planet. And the thing that people don't understand, and if you're a musician, you understand this, that when you go from various instruments, there is a theory, there's a musical theory behind each instrument that you play, although you may have similar notes from one instrument to the other. The mindset and the approach and the technique is different. And it's, and for most people, it's difficult to go from being a bass player to being a lead guitarist, because you tend to like to play the bass like you play the guitar.
You know the rules of the bass in your mind.
Absolutely. And Prince was able to maneuver through all of these instruments. If you saw him play the piano, you would think he was a pianist. Mm-hmm. You would never think he was a drummer. Mm-hmm. And if you heard him play the drums, you would think this guy's a bad drummer, you know. You never think that he was a bass player. When he picked up the bass, you were like, man, this dude is crazy on this bass, right? But he was self-taught. Mm. Never took a lesson in his life.
Wow.
Prodigy. Okay.
Really a prodigy.
Deep, man. And what we witness in his, you know, his, you know, just his ability to challenge the normal tradition. I mean, he's the reason why you have parental, you know.
He's the explicit.
Yeah. He's the reason why you have that on labels. But, you know, actually what we deem so evil now seems very tame compared to what's out there in the music world right now. But think about this. And as we slide into our first break, and I'm so happy you're here with us on One Mic, One Voice. And it is a pleasure to be able to talk about someone that has given their lives to try to make this world better. You know, we talk about many issues, but being able to talk about Prince Rogers Nelson today, I think, is a privilege that One Mic doesn't take lightly. But think about this, man. Let me tell you how bad. Let's just get down to how bad the brother. Brother looked smooth, though. Mm-hmm. He was short. He was 5'2". But I mean, the brother was smooth, right? But man, how you get your own color? You know, I'm saying, man, how do you, man? You like put on purple, man. You know, do I got to call him and get permission or something?
Yeah.
How you just own your own? Who else own their own color?
Prince owns purple?
No, it seems like he do.
Right. You know, I was thinking too, like, you know, back then, even right now, you know, if you were to approach a man and say, look, we got this great idea. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you an image. I mean, not that this was Prince's situation, mm-hmm. but to even propose that the color purple was going to be the color that represented you, would you agree with that? It's like, Mike, you know what? I see it. Man, purple is just going to take you to the next level.
I would. But symbolically, because purple is supposed to be the color of royalty.
Royalty, right.
Then I can see symbolically, but you know, no, I wouldn't have said that, bro. They would have been filming it. Give me black or something.
Yes, I'm like that, right? And so that just speak more to, like you talked about him, you know, really being able to break down those stereotypes about gender and about the way we think about certain things. And he stayed true to himself from the beginning to the end.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to take a break, folks. Hang with us. We got some Prince music coming up. We got some we got some bad stuff on this show.
Yeah.
So hang with us and we will be right
back.
DT, this segment is being brought to you by Selfie Moon. You know, we take those pictures, right?
Uh-huh.
That, you know, they all dark, man, and uh-huh. you can't even tell who you're trying to find the light, or you might even be in a, you know, I ain't gonna even say in the club, because I, you know, but you might be in the club, let's say.
Professional events,
exactly,
right?
And you're trying to get that one picture, man, capture that moment. Well, listen, Selfie Moon is what you want to buy, man. It goes right on your phone.
Okay.
All right, man. You can get the perfect lighting. It's a brand new product. Folks, go to theselfiegods.com. That is theselfiegods.com. And guess what? When you buy one of those Selfie Moons, you're supporting the One Mic, One Voice show. A little bit go back to us so that we can continue to do what we do.
Thank you so much.
This show is also sponsored by Vector Roofing. Do you hear that? The sound of hail. More importantly, the sound of money leaving your pocket. But that can be prevented with Vector Roofing. We provide free estimates and cover your deductible, giving you a roof for the stormy season. We work closely with your insurance company and walk you through each step of the way. Give us a call at 405-259-6463. That's 405-259-6463. Also, like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Vector Roofing.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. This segment, DT, is being brought to you by Vector Roofing. Listen, folks, if you have a problem with your roof, and you know what, in Oklahoma City, you're going to have some issues, right? And if you choose Vector Roofing, they're a great company. Tell them One Mic, One Voice sent you. And folks, a little bit will come back to us. And we just appreciate that so much. Now, getting back to Prince, we talked about how he stayed in Minneapolis. But get this. Do you realize at Paisley Park, this brother had like a dance hall where he sent out flyers inviting the community to come in, charge them $10 a head. Mm-hmm. So it was affordable. Mm-hmm. And he would perform, party with them. Okay. Tell me what other megastar is going to ever do that. Interesting. I mean, man, just think, we going to Prince. You know, Prince throwing a party tonight. We going over there. Just hang out with him.
$10, yeah.
And I mean, the guy was, he would play. He was known for playing 3 hours in concert.
Hmm.
And after that, he would find a local joint to go to and just set up and play until 3-4 o'clock in the morning. He loved playing music, man. And you know, he talked so much about how the music industry has changed and how, you didn't have the quality of the music and how people were just searching for hits.
Mm-hmm.
And really, to be honest with you, I think what hurts the most about losing Prince is there is nobody to take the torch.
Hmm.
Now, I know some folks gonna get mad at me, some folks out there that are musicians and they doing their thing, and I'm not mad at you for doing you. I'm not mad at the Beyoncés of the world, and I'm not mad at the Taylor Swifts of the world. I'm not mad at them at all. But what I will say is, do you play 27 instruments? Are you writing everything from the beginning to the end? Are you recording everything? Are you your own one person show? And have you been doing it for over 30 years? Mm-hmm. And have you did it when people don't understand. Prince didn't start in the technology age where you just play something and loop it. I mean, he's playing everything through,
mm-hmm.
every instrument through. If you made a mistake, you had to go back and record it. You just didn't go to the computer and take that note out.
Right.
And, you know, no, that
Yo,
perfection.
Whoa. I just had a brain explosion just thinking about that. Because, I mean, you're right. Now we have a lot of technology afforded to us that make the job way easier. You don't have to play 27 instruments. You can be one person and push 27 buttons, you know?
Absolutely.
And so there was a craft to that. There was some significance to being able to do that. And you're right. You cannot talk about being some knockout artist or musician without considering the fact that you didn't have to do half the things that these people had to do back then to make your music possible.
Absolutely. And also, you didn't have the internet. Now you have the internet. You have the technology.
We can upload a song in like 10 seconds.
Oh, absolutely. You don't, you know, back then you had to go to the studio. You have to pay money to be in the studio. You had to have a certain level of expertise to produce that. I mean, it was reel to reels at one time. You know, it wasn't digital. It was reel to reel. It was analog.
I remember going to the studio and recording back in the day. A few buddies of mine, we were about 15, did a little freestyle session.
Up in the studio.
Yeah. Paid our $30.
That's it. I mean, it's a different era in which musicians are coming up nowadays. And that's why I think people respect him so much as a musician. Because clearly that speaks for itself. I mean, you can say what you want to say, whether you like a person or you dislike their music, but you cannot dislike the talent. And I think that Prince had enormous talent. And he's got this vault. Supposedly, nobody knows how many songs, thousands of songs.
Unreleased material.
And I mean, it's
now. Who owns the rights to that stuff now?
He does now. Okay. He does now. Matter of fact, just a few months ago, he got back his whole catalog from Warner Brothers.
Wow!
And we're gonna talk a little bit about that and how he must have felt, you know, the fighting all those years, you know, to get back what you own. I mean, that's kind of crazy.
Now, listen, is this similar to when O.J. Simpson went back and tried to take the
Nah,
the
bro.
Okay.
Nah. Prince was trying to use legal means. O.J. was trying to use guns and knives. And yeah, O.J. went gangster style on him. No, that wasn't Rogers Nelson. You know, he was fighting a good fight, and he wanted to pave the way for others, you know, for others to do that. But what I want to do is getting to in a minute here, Prince's social activism, because you talked about when we open up, we said the title of our show is More Than a Musician, and you talked about his social activism, and I want our audience to know that he was more than the string, more than the keys, more than the pads on the drum. He was much deeper than that. And his legacy is deeper than that. And we're going to take a break here. But let me say this. I heard that they're going to turn his, you know, Paisley Park into a museum. Mm. Man, you know how many people going to come from all over the world to see that?
To see
Prince's crib.
How many visits you gonna make up there?
I'm gonna make some. I'm just gonna tell you that right now, man. I'm gonna make some. And let me go back and say how I found out. Okay, a friend of mine called me and told me, sent me a message and said, didn't call, sent me a message and said Prince died. I was like, what? So immediately, I got a call from my boy in South Carolina. He was like, man, I had to call, bro. You all right? Yeah. I need to put you on suicide watcher. What's going on, man? They said, I just heard the word. Okay? So we talked, man. And then my partner from Minneapolis, okay, hit me up on text me and said, man, have you heard Prince died? And then there's one friend of mine, Ken Hayes. I'm going to call him out. Me and this man, I knew him, and I always tell this story. We've been friends, man, all our lives, man. We became friends in diapers. That's what I tell people. And I said, man, I there is no larger. Now, I love Prince, but my boy got me beat by a little bit. I admit it, a little bit. But I had to call him, man, and we played phone tag, man, for a few days. He called me, I called him, and we finally caught up with one another, and we just talked about, as he said, man, we have been listening to this man since we were 16, 17 years old. And throughout the years, you know, throughout the decades, and having that kind of personal connection, not directly but indirectly, through folks that knew him, through folks we knew, and so so it is impactful. Mm-hmm. And knowing the things that he was doing, because we knew he was more than the musician anyway, mm-hmm. in our eyes, even though he didn't want people to know a lot of the great things he was doing, we knew that he was more than what people gave him credit to. But the world has lost, as I said again, there's no one to pass the torch. You know, when James Brown went on, when Mike Jackson went on, you know, you always in our world, we always said, well, we still got Prince though. Mm. You know, Prince still here, you know, so everything good, you know. But when he left, I mean, for my generation, there is nobody else to pass the torch to. And somebody said to me, and I'm not going to say who this person is, and I didn't even really comment, but the person said to me, I guess Prince to your generation is like Beyonce to our generation.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Let me say this.
Over our generation.
Let me say this. Okay, let me say this. Let me be clear about something. Okay. Beyonce cannot even carry the purple scarf of Prince. And she will admit that herself. You would have no Beyonce if it wasn't for Prince.
And they did share the stage.
And he had much respect for her. So I'm not disrespecting her, but I'm saying the comparison. If you want to compare someone to Prince, you have to put him in a category of John Lennon. You got to put him in a category of Jimi Hendrix. Mm. You got to put him in a category of the musical icons of Stevie Wonder. You have to put him in those categories for greatness, because clearly, he was one of the most talented musicians ever. Songwriter. You know, he's working on his memoirs, right? Mm. And he only wrote 50 pages before his untimely death. They were interviewing Stevie Wonder. Anderson Cooper said, Stevie, could you sing one of Prince's, one of your favorite songs of Prince? And he broke down. Mm-hmm. He said, because if I start singing it, he said, I don't think I can make it through it. Folks, that's Stevie Wonder. We will be right back.
This is Tiffany Hill, host of Authentic Conversations, a weekly podcast designed to deliver motivational content, including self-worth, relationships, parenting, professional development, and physical, emotional, and spiritual health. You can connect with me on my Facebook page, Authentic Conversations, hosted by Tiffany Hill, or on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope at @th_authentic. And you can also find me on my website, www.thauthentic.com.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. We're talking about Prince today.
All right.
And we told you we're going to get into some of his music. Here's a song from Musicology called Dear Mr. Man. Take a listen, and we're going to talk about it.
Maybe we should write a letter. said, "Dear Mr. May, we don't understand why poor people keep struggling, but you don't lend a helping hand." Matthew 5:5 say, "The meek shall inherit the earth." We wanna be down that way, but you've been tripping since the day of your birth. Who said that to kill is a sin? It started every single war that your people beat in. Who says that water is a precious commodity? Then dropped a big old black oil slick in the deep blue sea. Who told me, Mr. Man, that working around the clock will buy me a big house in the hood, cigarette ads on every block? Who told me, Mr. Man, that I got a right to moan? How about this big old hole in the ozone? What's wrong with the world today? Things just got to get better. Dear Mr. May, we don't understand. Maybe we should write a letter. And voting, same song with a different name. Might not be in the back of the bus, but it sure feels just the same. Ain't nothing fair about welfare, ain't no assistance in aid. Ain't nothing affirmative about your actions till the people get paid. Your 1,000 years are up, now you got to share the land. Section 1, the 14th Amendment says, no state shall deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Mr. May, we want to end this letter with 3 words. We tired of y'all.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Man, we've been jamming up in here. Hey, what's wrong with the world today?
Mike pulled out his gold platform, just to let y'all know. It's still in here, glittering as we speak.
Oh, man, that, you know, dear man, dear Mr. Man, you know, the themes in this song. I mean, when we talk about Prince's activism, oftentimes, what we have come accustomed to, really in today's music, is this idea of sexuality, which Prince had some of that. We can't get away from that. But man, people are not talking about things that matter. Mm-hmm. Okay, all these songs about, you know, love with the bartender, you know. I'm just keeping it real, right?
Yeah. It's entertaining, but it's not substance. It's not. You don't get anything out of it. Really.
Absolutely, and I think there are some themes in this particular song, "Dear Mr. Man," that he's laying out an argument. You know, why poor people keep struggling, but you don't lend a helping hand. Poverty in our country, as we've talked about it on this show, just keeps growing year after year, exponentially. Mm-hmm. You see it each and every day in the line of work that you're in. Kids coming to school hungry. He even went into the Bible a little bit. Matthew 5:5, the meek shall inherit the earth. Spirituality. Wow. Who said that to kill is a sin? Well, who said it?
That's my line. That's I like that line right there.
I think God said it. Right.
Who said that to kill is a sin then started every single war that your people been in? Like, really? You don't tell us, you know.
Thou shalt not kill.
And turn around and kill up the whole place.
The play here is on a Christian nation. Okay. That's the play here. United States is, quote unquote, a Christian nation. When the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's in the book. Okay. But as Princess said, we've started just about every war, mm-hmm. or we've helped to start every war. We've armed people to start wars. Yes, very, very socially conscious. Mm-hmm. And water. I mean, you know, you know what's so deep about this is many, many, not just we would say military strategists, but people, scientists believe that we there is a water shortage in the world, and they do believe that wars will be fought over water.
I believe it.
You see, over access to water. And I mean, he talks about who said that water is a precious commodity, then dropped a big oil black oil slick in the deep blue sea. Man, okay. People don't know this about Prince. Prince was he was an animal activist. I mean, he
was a vegetarian.
He was a vegetarian all his life, animal activist. And matter of fact, he gave millions to PETA.
PETA voted him as the sexiest vegetarian
alive at that year. To add to his activism, he talked about working around the clock. Would buy a big house in the hood with cigarette ads on every block. He talking about the black community, folks. Mm. Okay, it's deep,
man. Ain't no assistance in AIDS. Ain't nothing affirmative about your actions till the people get paid.
Mm. Isn't that something? Okay. He talked about AIDS when it wasn't popular to talk about it. And no assistance is compassion for those who were suffering from this disease. Showing compassion to those, not victimizing those like the Reagan administration did, victimize those with AIDS, turned away from those with AIDS, didn't even put dollars into AIDS research. Okay. He was talking about it. He was bringing light to it.
Now, Prince at one point in time, or maybe forever, was considered a sex symbol, correct?
Yeah. I think the women would say that.
And then openly coming out and talking about sex issues, AIDS being one of mm-hmm. the more serious ones. That's uncommon, man, for a lot of people to do. A lot of people get on the microphone and tell you about how many women they slept with and this and that, but... Mm-hmm. He ain't gonna tell you to put the condom on. He ain't gonna tell you to, you know, protect yourself. Go mm-hmm. get tested for HIV, AIDS. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these, you know, precautionary things we can do to protect ourselves. Yeah. But man, Prince was way ahead of his time. Man.
He was way ahead of his time. That's
why he'll live on, because of that reason right there.
That's a very powerful thing that you just said. You know, King was way ahead of his time. That's why he lives on. Gandhi was way ahead of his time. That's why he lives on. More than a musician is what we're talking about here today. We're talking about the life of a man that talked about environmental issues when he says, how about this big old hole in the ozone? Talked about AIDS, as you put out there. And then he goes on and he ends it by saying, your 1,000 years are up.
It's a wrap for all of that.
And then he brings out the 14th Amendment.
Dropping a little knowledge on him.
Civil rights, folks. Man, this is thinking about for a moment when he sat down to craft his lyrics on this song.
Because he wrote all of his own music.
He wrote all of his own music. These are not lyrics of a lightweight, of someone that is not intellectually in tune, not only with themselves, but with society and what's going on with society. He touched on every level: health, poverty, wars, international level, domestically, the black community. Okay, he touched
on world issues, the ozone layer.
He touched on issues that are affecting everyone in one song, folks, and was jamming doing it. Okay, and so when you look at Prince, and our show is dedicated to Prince, we're trying to get you to look deeper. And those of you that say, "Yeah, I knew Prince," but you know, it's never too late. It's never too late to learn, because I believe his life is a timeless example. Your 1,000 years are up. Now you got to share the land. Section 1, the 14th Amendment says, "No state shall deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of the law." Mr. Man, we want to end this letter with three words.
We tired of y'all.
We tired of y'all. It's, you know what? And if anything, man, death should cause us to look at our own lives. It should cause us to bring into focus, because many of us, we're not focused. Bring into clear focus who we are, what's important to us, how do we relate to each other? Because the brother was 57. His family is devastated. I don't know what age you are listening to our broadcast, but what I can say to you today, for sure, tomorrow's not promised to you. It's not. We would like to live forever. And maybe I read this quote from Dr. King that I put up after Prince had passed, but I realized that death shakes us up, but it must shake us up in a way that we change, that we don't just be sad, and that we don't just grieve, and that we don't just, you know, say, yeah, you know, it's, you know, next. But we look in the mirror, DT, and say, what am I doing with my life? If I checked out tonight, would folks be on a microphone saying these things about me? What is my social consciousness? All of us don't have a big stage like Prince, but we got a stage. Come on now. We got a stage. I don't know how big it is, but we got friends. We got relatives. You talk about all the time making things right with your family.
Yeah.
Looking at your hurting relatives, how you serving people outside your family and you ignoring your family. All of us have a stage. Are you performing well on your stage? Or are you sitting there because you got stage fright? Or you don't even know you're on stage? Okay?
Mike, you're going too hard on me right now, man. Wow. Do you have stage fright?
You got stage fright.
Do you have stage fright? Wow. But seriously though, man, you hit on every single point, man. Life is just this very short and painful and beautiful and frustrating and joyful, and it's just this thing that's just here and gone the next moment. You know, we blink and it can be over with. And we have to look at ourselves and say, man, look, did I make the most of today? Why am I even thinking about tomorrow? I have things to do right now.
Absolutely.
And tomorrow not promised to us. And we know that. And death have that way, like you said, of shaking us up to transform us. And it's also one of those things that no matter how understanding we can be of it, we don't understand it. And, you know, we know, like you said, that there's going to be a day that comes and that's going to be our ending point. We don't know when that day is. We can't foresee what that might look like. But right now, that's all we got is right now.
Absolutely.
And being focused on the things that we can do now to have impact in our lives, to be living to our utmost ability is what we should be focused on.
Man, that's why I love this show, man. I love doing this show with you, because this is our moment right now, doing the best that we can do expressing what we can, what's in our heart, on our mind. This is our moment. Mm. And we might not get another moment. But this moment, we're going to enjoy this moment and do the best we can. More than a musician, folks, when we come back, we're going to listen to an interview. And many of you have heard of Tamron Hall. She's a she has a show on MSNBC, but she's also a correspondent for MSNBC. But she sparked this amazing relationship with Prince. And I want you to listen to her, and I want you to think about, when I say beyond being a musician, but I want you to more than a musician, I want you to listen to this idea of friendship, this idea of being there for someone else, understanding the persona of Prince.
The broadcast, we played for you the song that Prince actually composed for Tamron's show, News Nation. They were very, very dear friends. Tamron joins me now on the phone. Tamron, you know, let's just start with how you guys became such good friends. How did that happen?
Oh, it was, hi, Craig, and hi to our team there. Prince reached out to me years ago, and we just bonded over his interest in news, his interest in family, and it just turned into what was one of the most incredible friendships and relationships of my life. When I tweeted out that I've lost one of my best friends, that was not something that I ever imagined, I would say.
I know this is hard. I know that you talked to him a few days ago as well. Did you get the sense during that conversation, Tamron, that there was anything wrong, that he was not okay in any way?
Yeah. Well, like everyone else, I started to see the social media information about an emergency landing. I emailed him on Saturday, and I said, Prince, are you okay? He immediately wrote back, are you okay? And that was kind of a joke thing that we would do sometimes. And he said, call me. And I called him, and we talked for nearly 3 hours, which was not uncommon for us to do. I did not hear anything that sounded like the flu or the cold, but, you know, all of our bodies are different. And we didn't really talk a lot about it. I didn't press him on what happened. It was clear that he did not want to elaborate on it. And our conversation went the way that it always goes, just talking about life. And he wanted me to come to Paisley that night for a fan appreciation concert. He hosts different events, including for the National Association of Black Journalists recently, and different fan groups come out to Paisley because he has always wanted that place to be open to his fans. And I took the fact that he was hosting something and wanted me to be there as a sign that he was okay. So I never felt the need to ask again what was wrong. Monday, I was in a restaurant. I videotaped the restaurant's ambiance music, which was one of his songs. And I texted him, I emailed him, and I said, you know, you're everywhere. And then he wrote back, but nowhere at the same time, which is, again, how Prince communicates. And then he eventually wrote back, you're thinking of me because I'm thinking of you too. And I never imagined again that that would be my last correspondence with him. You understand, in my life, the only other person I spoke with or speak with more than Prince is my mother. This is the person I communicate with more than anyone. And but I think it's important for people to understand that Prince was such a compassionate person. We recently went with Damaris Lewis, another great friend, his muse in the band, to visit Harry Belafonte. It was the first time that Harry Belafonte had ever met Prince. Yesterday he told me how he was just taken in by Prince. He, of course, knew of his legacy in music, but he did not know how much he was for the truth and for people. And we sat there forever at Harry Belafonte's house. And when you think about how excited people would be to meet Prince, imagine how excited Prince was to meet Harry Belafonte because of his history with civil rights, because of his ability to transform his career from an actor to an activist. And that's what Prince always wanted for his life. That's why he always challenged the music industry. It wasn't just about his money and his royalties. He wanted to challenge what he saw was an unfair system for artists. So for me, that's I'm a lucky person that I have had a friend like this. But it is not lost on me that he was much more than music, and I think people know that. And I love the fact that Saturday he wanted to, even in his illness, be around people who loved music and who appreciated him. So, you know, it is, he didn't talk a lot about life and all of these things of death. He didn't look at time, and he wasn't conscious of how long he would live and what he had to do next. For him, this was always an ongoing journey, and he was always creating new music and always open to new young people. His new band, Third Eye Girl, those are young, three young women that he took in, and Hannah, Donna, Ida, Joshua, all young talent that he never wanted to feel that they didn't have a place at the table. And he was a great, and is a great, great person.
You, you were recently featured on the cover of his single, and I think we have, for our viewers at home, I think we have this cover. The single was If I Could Get Your Attention. And there's Tamron Hall in a purple dress. How did that come about?
You know, I've said this before. I send pictures of whatever, you know, outfit, or even for special occasions, Golden Globe, red carpet. Big Prince would always love to give his thoughts, both good and bad, on some of the choices. And I'd taken a selfie that I'd given him that selfie, I don't know, years ago. And he sent me a note. And we typically would communicate really late at night, even though I get up early for the Today Show. We would talk on the phone on Friday night to 3 in the morning. We would go to sleep and then resume the conversation in the afternoon. And it was just a picture. And he said, I'm going to put this on the single. And of course, you know, I'm thinking, how did I go from being a fan of Prince on my school bus in middle school, singing, you know, the tracks from Purple Rain, to my friend, you know, saying, I'm going to put this picture of you on my single? So, you know, those are the things that, of course, are big headlines, but the things that I have in my intimate mind, in my heart, because he was so private about his life, you know, those are the things that will warm my heart. He protected his privacy. He protected the privacy of his friend. And even though I'm talking about him today and with you and on our show, there are just great things about him I wish I could tell people. But he wanted them to stay private. He didn't want people to know all of the ways he helped other people. He did it as this silent angel, including how he helped me in my life on many occasions. So, you know, he loves his fans, and that's what's important, and they love him. And I had a chance on Saturday to tell my friend how much I loved him. And that's what matters.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. I mean, really, like, man, I can hear the hurt in her voice.
Yeah.
Trying to express the idea of her relationship with Prince, and could hear the passion and how much their relationship meant to her. Let me ask you this, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
How many people in your life right now, and I'm sure because you're a type of person who maintain quality relationships, mm-hmm. how many of your friends could you speak of like that, man?
You know, I've been very fortunate in my life. I can't say the number is great, but I would say there, I've had some very close friends all of my life, mm-hmm. and they know me, and I know them, and that's a deep statement, because we're in relationships all the time with people for various reasons, mm-hmm. that we don't know, and they don't know us, and we have no desire to know them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they really have no desire to know us. It's transactional, right? Mm-hmm. It's work. It's, but to have a friend that you talk to for 3 hours, mm-hmm. and just to reach out,
just talk, Yeah,
exactly. And to reach out to her just in out of the blue. I'm Prince, you know, and I just want to be your friend.
What I
just
find funny sometimes too, man, is that we're reaching out to each other when there's a problem, you know?
Absolutely.
Like you said, we've had friends that we've grown up with, had our whole lifetimes, but we don't maintain the relationship with meaningful conversation.
Absolutely.
With real interest in what's happening in that person's life. And I think in my life, I can say that I've been able to have friendships like that. People that I can count on, people who really know me, that I can talk to about whatever. Yes. And it just bring a different value to your life, having people around like that. And it's not that we're reaching out to each other because there's an issue or that there's some drama or that just, it's just like, yo, man, what's up with you? You know, you're all right. You good? You doing okay? Yeah. And it was really, really, if I didn't know Prince, after hearing her, I really wish that I had some type of connection with him, because he was really that deep of a dude.
And I mean, you're so correct. I mean, we sense from her conversation that he was a loyal, true friend, and that he cared. He didn't talk just to talk. He wanted to play a role in your life. And how he reached out to young people and gave them space, like she said. At the end of your days, I mean, you know, to her, it don't matter that he was a great musician. To her, what matters is that he was a great friend.
She didn't even talk about the music.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, that didn't constitute our relationship. And just think about the time that he gave her. I'm just
being Prince.
Being Prince.
Could
man.
Be he, on the he, phone with anybody.
You know what I'm saying, man? Literally. People would die to take a conversation with him. And he
20 minutes. She got a whole 3 hours.
For free. Often. Not in a rush to get off the phone, but to give of himself. You know, more than a musician. He was a friend, a brother. You know, he lost his only child that was born. That had to have an impact on him as well. But he was a humanitarian, and truly those he let within his life saw a person of value, a person of character, and a person that that could not only give love but receive love. And that's a beautiful thing. Folks, we're going to take one more break, and we're going to be right back.
This is Richard Taplin, host of The Black Box and also the producer here at Blacken Studios. I want to tell you thanks for supporting all of our shows here at Blacken Studios. Please be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Blacken Studios. And also go by our website, blackenstudios.com, to find all of our podcasts, such as One Mic, One Voice, The Roxy by Design Show, The Elijah Bailey Show, The Gamer Stand Podcast, The Authentic Conversations, The Radical Harmony Plus, and also my favorite, The Black Box. You can also email us at podcast@blackenstudios.com. And remember, it's Blacken.
Hi, everyone. This is Roxy Davis.
And this is Deborah Burris. And we are
the Roxy by Design Show. Our show is designed to bring healing as we share our stories while God redesigns our lives.
So take a ride with us.
So you can find us at
Podbean, iTunes,
Facebook and Twitter,
and
blackenstudios.com. So thank you, everyone, for listening to the Roxy by Design Show. You have a blessed day.
We love you.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. You know, Prince gave money to get underprivileged children involved in technology. He was instrumental, as Van Jones said, in starting that particular initiative for them. I mean, he also gave money to Trayvon Martin's family. People weren't aware of that. Hurricane Katrina. He gave millions of dollars to those who suffered through that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he
put on concerts.
Oh yeah,
that were cover ups for support for other groups that were in town.
Absolutely.
Man.
I mean, he didn't want anybody to know that he was doing these things. According to, you know, being a Jehovah's Witness, mm-hmm. you're not supposed to share. But, you know, even in his private, you know, he desired privacy. So therefore, he did these things because he knew they would make a difference. But he didn't want any fame behind it.
You know, when she described him as a silent angel.
Mm.
And it's, I think it's a lot harder to do that today because, I mean, there are cameras everywhere. I mean, somebody, even if it's not you, you say, look, I'm going to do this. Keep it under your hat. Don't want the publicity. Don't mm-hmm. want the recognition. Mm-hmm. And 20,000 people, you know, tweet that they saw you somewhere, you know, or that you were involved mm-hmm. in something.
I think people want the recognition, though, DT. Yeah. I think that level of humility is absent. Mm-hmm. People want to they want to stand up there with the check,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the oversized, you know, cardboard
yeah.
check and say, this is what I've done, or this is what I've given. And I think the greater gift is in simply doing it without recognition, because you feel so honored to be in a position that you are, because you're blessed. And you want to help others, but you know it's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we do something and we put ourselves center stage, what we're doing becomes secondary
mm-hmm.
to who's in the limelight. And I think Prince was one that, not just in here, he just didn't want the limelight. He wanted the stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wanted to impact folks' lives, but he didn't really want the limelight. He didn't want the recognition because I believe it was from the heart.
Mm-hmm. I feel a lot of those feelings in some ways, just kind of wanting to
just do your
fly
thing
under
man.
The radar just, and, you know, do your thing.
It's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessary, man. Just do your thing. Just do for people, bless people, be there for people. You don't have to get on the microphone and say, this is what I done did. Okay. That's not what it's about. I think we should learn this. This is a valuable lesson for you musicians out there that are trying to make it. You that have already, quote unquote, made it. You athletes, you don't have to be the face. You can simply help people and you can be silent about it. And great is your reward. Mm-hmm. Great is your reward. So you got some trivial, man.
Yeah, I want to try to hit you with a little
questions.
Okay.
Purple questions.
So. Okay. Just kind of change of pace here. You know, mm-hmm. we've been talking about the legacy that is Prince, mm-hmm. His impact on the world, his many givings of himself to people. But we're gonna start off with a little trivia. See if I can stump the old mind of Michael,
the Prince historian.
All right. So, first question is: mm-hmm. Do you know when Prince recorded his first song?
It was, I believe, 19. His first song was 10.
Ah, he was 7.
He was 7.
Okay, do you know do you know the name of the song?
No.
It was called Funk Machine.
Funk Machine.
Now think about that.
I thought he was
your
10.
7-year-old son saying, Dad, I got a song. It's a smash. I want you to hear it. He's like, what's the name?
He got on his father's piano.
Funk Machine. Funk Machine. Say it again.
He got on his father's piano. He used to play the piano when he was very, very young, and his sister sang.
Now, at 10 years old, he did dance on stage with James Brown.
That is correct.
That was something that he done at 10. Michael Jackson had a song that would have featured Prince, but Prince decided against it because of these particular lyrics that Michael Jackson used. So what I'm asking you is what Michael Jackson song would have featured Prince but did not because of this certain lyric that he didn't agree with.
See, he didn't. Richard Bad.
That's it. And so that would have been one of the greatest duos of all time. But Prince didn't.
I think I remember that.
Prince didn't agree with the lyrics, Your Butt Is Mine, in that particular song. So he opted out not to be a part of it.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
All right. So. So he had a really popular song called in 1999 called Little Red Corvette.
Mm-hmm.
And something happened on the stage of this video shoot involving all of the gas and smoke they had to use to create the effect. Do you know what happened on the set of?
Oh, the video?
Yeah.
I would have to guess they had to evacuate the place.
There was something maybe happening that made people want to evacuate the place, but...
Oh, he was getting busy.
The mineral oil used to create the smoke in the video gave many people on the set diarrhea.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
I would not have known that.
Little Red Corvette was...
You need to get some better Prince questions,
I'm
man.
Sorry,
these are like...
I'm sorry. It's stuff you actually you didn't
have to,
know.
You actually have to be on the set, you know. Is this in his biography?
What, this? No. This is like behind the scenes.
This is really behind
right
the scenes. Like he's smelling outside McDonald's.
All right, last one. Last one. I'm going to give you an easy one. All right. What sport did Prince play?
Oh, that was basketball.
Okay. See, that's a little bit more up your alley. You
can that's probably the most.
But what's funny is that, you know, I remember watching the Chappelle Show.
Oh, yeah, when they
and
did
yeah,
that.
And, yeah, they did that parody of him playing basketball.
But, you know, supposedly that's true.
Yeah. They actually played a game. It was like, man, you wouldn't think Prince was a good basketball player.
They
you
said
know,
he had skills.
Man,
but matter of fact, there's an article about his coach talked about how Prince was a good shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a lot of turnovers, though.
Mm.
And
probably couldn't dribble that well.
And no, he had mad handles.
Okay.
No, they said he could cross you
so
over
what was up
in
with
a
the turnovers.
Heartbeat. He said he just would pass at the wrong time, you know. But Prince would get mad because he couldn't play him because he was too short.
Mm-hmm.
But Prince would get upset because he wouldn't get in the game. He knew Prince would get upset because he was very obvious. You know, he made it mm-hmm. very obvious that he was upset and he wanted to play. But yeah, no, they said he was you know, he had some skills.
Yeah.
They said don't take him lightly.
Right. And it's like, you know, when Dave Chappelle brought that parody out, it's like, man, wow, this cat really was a dynamic dude. But I think this episode, man, really ties into what we've been talking about past couple episodes, talking about identity. And Prince knew who he was, man. Take that type of spirit to find introspection, to guide yourself and to keep going in the direction that you know is right and it's for the best.
You know, one of the last tweets that Prince put up was, "I am transformed."
Mm-hmm.
One of the last tweets. And I agree. He knew who he was. He knew why he was created. And as I was telling my friend Ken, although we are sad that he has departed, he's been transformed.
Hmm.
What else could he do on this planet? I mean, he was a philanthropist. He was socially conscious. He gave money to many organizations in Minnesota, creating jobs and so forth. You know, he opened up his house to his fans. He delivered, you know, millions of copies of music to adoring fans across the world. He befriended people that never knew him. He brought them into his inner circle. Mm-hmm. He gave opportunity to women when there were not many opportunities given by elite, we would say, musical acts, which Prince was. He opened up the door for women. What more could he do? He had fulfilled his purpose, and it was time for him to move on. And many, I think all of us would like to get to the point where we have reached our full potential. We have fulfilled our purpose, and it's time for us to move on. Because as we always say, history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time, and what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we solve nothing and remain a divided people? Yes, history will speak of Prince.
you could say it was a good day. At least a little better than the day in Baltimore. Does anybody hear us pray for Michael Brown or Freddie Gray? Peace is more than the absence of war.
Programming to bring you up to date on a developing situation in Los Angeles.
Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show. Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blacken Studios. To learn more about Blacken Studios, please visit them at blackenstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blacken Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blacken Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.